Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
All right, let's hear it. Welcome out to 50 West. How we doing out here, everybody? Paul Daner Jr., Jay Morrison, Tyler Dunn of Go Long TD. Hear that podcast growling. Joint event at 50 West Brewing Company. I got to say, what a crowd. Give yourselves a hand for a huge crowd out here on New Year's Day.
Incredible.
Shaking it off, you know, getting back into it. You've already got a double IPA. We're going after it.
Hey, it's a big game. So you don't go with the wheats. You don't go with the water on the side. You start strong, double IPA, experimental. I'm experimenting and experimental, so yeah. We're starting strong, yeah.
We have a big show here for you. So pumped to have everybody out here. We're going to have, of course, we set up some trivia questions. We're going to give some stuff away. Tyler, if you don't know about Go Long TD, you should be a subscriber. We hope you are. He also has a book. The Blood and Guts, How Tight Ends Save Football. Hope people have purchased this. My setup in my house has your book prominently displayed behind me.
It does. I like it.
And now it's in front. I'm comfortable near it. So hopefully people can check out that book. We're going to give one away here today. But there's a lot to talk about. Bills Bengals are really interesting for me because organizationally they're interesting. Quarterback-wise, they're fascinating. And this game is going to be sort of a defining lesson in what the 2023 playoffs are going to look like, right? I mean, this is top-tier football. This is the big three in the AFC. Bengals, Bills, Chiefs. And maybe somebody else can try to break through that ceiling. But I think what we're going to see on Monday night is going to be the ultimate foundation for, hey, Spangles team might be the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, how many of you were here back in September for our preseason event here?
There we are. We got some hands.
How many of you thought this was going to be a big game Monday night? Back then. I mean, you saw it coming from as soon as the schedule came out, and it is. This is for, as Joe Mixon said yesterday, this is to see who the big dogs are in the AFC, and I don't know. They've already beat the Chiefs. The Bills have beat the Chiefs. This is for everything, basically. I mean, nobody wants to go to Buffalo in the playoffs.
You don't want to go back to playoffs. Buffalo.
No, I'm staying down here.
and Bengal fans have made the jungle a very difficult place to play. The one seed is in play. The division title is in play. This is everything we thought it was going to be when the schedule came back out back in, what, was it April?
That's correct. Let's start with the quarterbacks, because I think there's a really good big picture conversation to be had about these guys. And I want to start with you, TD. You have a lot of knowledge of the Bills organization, about Josh Allen, about how they do things and operate things. Josh Allen is a couple years ahead of the Bengals in where they are with their quarterback. They have paid him. They are going to be facing next year the first big cap hit of having Josh Allen. I'm curious your view of how the Bills approached that, because the Bengals are, well, days away from having to approach that with Joe Burrow.
The pressure is higher than it's ever been because the window is open right now. I think that's what made 13 seconds hurt more than anything for the Bills, right? Like, you were 13 seconds away from hosting the AFC Championship game against the Bengals, which, by the way, I love talking to the Bengal players about this. Everybody just assumes in Buffalo that the Bills would have won that game. I'm sure Cincinnati feels otherwise. But yeah, that contract kicks in. It's harder to sign guys, harder to keep guys. There's more and more on Josh Allen's shoulders. You see it now where there's times where the running game kind of breaks down. They don't really have a threat other than Stephon Diggs in the passing game, and Josh Allen just kind of takes off at 6'5", 247, leaping over linebackers, running over DBs, and that's kind of their best offense where there's a lot on his shoulders. It's going to become that even more because it's harder to just secure talent when you're paying that guy. And you just have to draft better, right? You can't be missing on guys in the draft. Nope. It gets a lot harder around, but you have to pay the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? The Bills lived that purgatory for two decades. I have my own podcast with somebody who was the assistant GM for the Bills, a director of personnel, let's just say Jim Monas, where he was let go because they couldn't find a quarterback, basically.
Yeah.
So if you have one, just give him the blank check and just live that life.
There is no amount of money that Bengals fans would feel uncomfortable seeing go directly to Joe Burrow's pockets. Oh. Like, I mean, it's just there. They don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's good value. Give him all the monies. Like, give it to him. He deserves, because this is what happens. I mean, you've seen it this year. Ja'Marr Chase goes down. Their defense has issues at certain points with injuries. Higgins has missed time. Boyd has missed time. We've seen last year when the line isn't great. Like, we've seen all this. They ended up in the Super Bowl. Burrow got them to the Super Bowl. They've won seven straight games where they started this streak without Ja'Marr Chase. He's turned Trenton Irwin into a star. He's found ways to make it all work. He makes it all work organizationally. He makes it work with coach, with GM, with draft picks that want to come here, that want to follow his work ethic. Like, you don't need anything else other than that to start with. You can make the rest of it work if you really have that guy. The problem is these places that pay quarterbacks that aren't that guy. And that's when you end up in the bad spot, because now when they can't lift all boats, you sink.
It's so perfectly said. I mean, it's the ultimate Advil. I mean, it makes any other problem go away. If you have the quarterback, I mean, anything could be happening around that player. You're seeing it in Buffalo now. You've seen it in Cincinnati. And what really fascinates me is, like, Burrow and Allen are elite in for different reasons.
Very different ways.
Physically, athletically, Allen can do things that we haven't seen out of the quarterback position. But Joe Burrow is going to decimate you with his brain. I mean, he's going to read the field. He's going to find that soft spot. He's going to exploit it and surgically just go right down the field, where I tend to think that's what you would prefer, actually. Over the course of 3-4 playoff games in a row, that's more sustainable. So, to your point, pay him whatever he wants, or anything.
Yeah. Decimate you with his brain. The Tyler Dunn of quarterbacks, really. That's like you, right?
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I mean, you make a great point, because it does, the margin of error shrinks considerably once you pay Joe Burrow, because they're not going to be signing DJ Reader and Trey Hendrickson and Von Bell. They're just not going to have the room to do that, and it's going to all come down to the draft, to developing. And I think the Bengals have done a much better job the last few years of getting these draft picks right. There's been misses, but every team has misses. But that is going to be a big deal. And I can't remember. Do you know what did Von Miller sign at market, or did he take kind of a late in your career, going to play for a little less and try to chase another ring? Because that's the flip side of that, where you can get free agents that are still quality that want to go play with Joe Burrow or a Josh Allen.
I think there's definitely players playing for the Bills right now that signed with the Bills that are chasing a ring, because we had 80 inches of snow last week. I mean, it's a miserable place to live if you're from there. If you're from, Florida or L.A., you're these players have been pampered and coddled, and you're at these big D1 programs where they give you everything on a silver platter, and now you can't even, like, shovel out your driveway. I mean, you can't. They couldn't get to the airport to go to a game that they were supposed to host in Orchard Park, New York, that they're playing in Detroit. There's a travel ban. I mean, they're illegally defying the travel ban to get to the airport to fly to play the Browns and at four. I mean, yeah. I mean, you better like your chances at winning the Super Bowl if you're living that kind of life. And I mean, it just goes to show there is a lot of ring chasing out there. And Von Miller, he's going through this and that decision. He had choices and he chose Josh Allen. He chose Buffalo. And you know what? We're not even talking about the Bills in these terms if they take Josh Rosen instead of Josh Allen. Yeah. Everybody's fired. Nobody wants to play for the Bills. When they chose Josh Allen, people were irate. I mean, go back to the original tweet on the Bills account and look at the replies. I mean, it was a dark day in Bills history when they took Josh Allen. My brother was at the draft party. He said there was people booing, people were depressed, people were yelling. It's crazy how that one decision can just send your franchise one direction as opposed to the other.
We were talking about this before we started the podcast. I go back to the 2017 draft. We are at the Combine in Indianapolis talking to Marvin Lewis as we do every single year. They have the number 9 overall pick that year. They would eventually be John Ross, but we were joking around, oh, who are you going to take? You're going to just tell us who you're going to take? And he said, it could be anybody, obviously, except a quarterback. We would never take a quarterback. We got Andy. Number 10 pick that year is Patrick Mahomes, and that seals your fate, right? I mean, that's what happened next was you end up, Marvin Lewis is gone. You have the year of the Miami Tua tank. Bengals get Burrow Bowl down there in Miami, and the rest is history. But you got to be willing that you got to hit. You can't miss. You got to be willing to take a risk oftentimes. You know, the Bengals were lucky that this kind of fell into their lap, but they have done a great job building around it. I think, to me, what happens is everyone assumes you get the quarterback and you're automatically great. Everything's great. I mean, let's look at Jacksonville last year. They got Trevor Lawrence, who's clearly a good quarterback. You can see that now. You have Urban Meyer messing it all up around you. Or you have GMs that can't quite, you know, Justin Herbert, very good. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. There were too many things wrong with them organizationally on defensive side of things. You've got to build around. I think what the Bengals have done very well is connecting the sort of organizational holy trinity, GM, head coach, quarterback number one, but all those three have to be together. They all have to excel. They all have to see the same vision. When you have that, everything else can fall into place, but not everybody has all three of those. And if you don't have the quarterback, you have no shot.
Absolutely. I mean, that 2017 draft, it's so fascinating. I mean, to bring it back to Buffalo, their owner, and I guess it really starts there with ownership. What kind of owner do you have? Their owner, Terry Pegula, loved Patrick Mahomes. As far back as September and October, when nobody really knew who this quarterback at Texas Tech was, he wanted him. He let Doug Whaley, the GM, know. Jim Monas, my podcast co-host, know. This is who I love. They go through the season. They're like, this type of offense and that type of scheme. I mean, the Big 12, everybody's scoring points. Can he really do this in the NFL? They hire Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott doesn't want a rookie quarterback. You know, he had the final say at that point, and I get it. You know, like Tyrod Taylor, you can win with him. And they did end the drought that year, right?
It's so funny in retrospect to listen to these conversations. Look, do you want to draft Mahomes or try to go win with Tyrod Taylor? Like, it's so funny when you say it now. But at the time, that is the real conversation.
It is. And as Jim has said, like, I wish, you know, hindsight's 2020, that we would have told Terry, you want Mahomes? Take Mahomes. We're going to take him. Because what happened? Well, they traded out of that pick to Kansas City. Kansas City takes Mahomes. The Bills get Tre'Davious White. They get the extra first, and they take Josh Allen the next year. But the day after the draft, my buddy Jim is fired. Doug Whaley's fired, and you know they're in the XFL right now. And it just it's crazy to look back and think that, you know, here the Cincinnati Bengals missed Mahomes their own reasons. The Buffalo Bills missed Mahomes for their own reasons. Yet here are all three teams vying for a Super Bowl.
They found a way to get a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy that Sean wouldn't want a rookie quarterback, because when you come into the league, you figure that you're going to have a little bit of a buffer. You're going to have that first year at least. And I mean, Zach Taylor got it, and then they get Burrow the next year. But it's surprising that would be the tack. That, yeah, we're gonna play with Tyrod Taylor. And it was the same with, I mean, I can't remember who the quarterbacks were in the 19 draft, but the Bengals were willing to ride it out with Andy Dalton, and I don't know that was a Zach Taylor decision at that point, but it's surprising that maybe this changes things with what Josh Allen's done, what Patrick Mahomes has done. You come in as a rookie coach, get that rookie quarterback right off the bat and just start the foundation right from the get-go.
Look, the Bengals did start the foundation in 2019 with a quarterback in Ryan Finley, who went out there, took those L's. Let's put one up for Ryan Finley. Took those three L's the hard way.
Right.
That's right.
Build the statue, really.
I mean, build the statue of him laying on the ground, smiling in that Steelers game. You know, Ryan Finley did the hard work here. Burrow's got the easy job. Go out there and win games. Try losing games, okay? When you gotta lose.
That's right. I guess to your question, too, it's like, I think when you draft a quarterback, it's kind of like narcissism, and you're just seeking out your own job security, but like, you're on the clock, right?
Yeah.
As a coach or GM, okay, we drafted the guy, I'm on the clock. I feel like Sean McDermott isn't alone. A lot of these people in power are like, we're going to push that decision down the road.
Right.
I don't want to be on the clock quite yet. I don't put my reputation on the line quite yet. And they did it. It worked out. They drafted the right guy the next year. But holy cow. I mean, the counterfactuals that could run through your head if you take the wrong guy. It's a different NFL.
And Bengals-Bills reconnect there at the end of that year because Sean McDermott wanted to build a winning culture first, right?
Yeah.
And Andy Dalton.
It does matter.
And Andy Dalton created that for him. Dalton to Boyd on New Year's Eve sends the Bills to the playoffs for the first time in forever and to end their playoff drought. And it did kind of establish that a little bit of that culture of what the Bills can be. They get Allen the next year. A remarkable thing. One other thing that I want to touch on about, you know, what's next for the Bengals, because you look at Josh Allen's cap hits. This year he's 16. Next year, 40. 24, it's 42. And then in 25, it's up to $51 million cap hit on Josh Allen. There's a lot of accounting involved. You can find ways to work the numbers, obviously. But think about it. Put that – I think the Burrow deal will be – Allen will be a very much a template for that. I think that it'll look similar more than likely. Just think about that, you know, $24 million and what that gets you in free agency. Think of it, and that's just 1 year. So, I mean, you're talking about an entire secondary. You're talking about $24 million. That's four $6 million players. Let's give them names. Von Bell – let's say Trey Hendrickson, Von Bell, and what's another? Who's another $6 million? Hayden Hurst, and who else? And one of the linemen, right? And let's say Karras
or Kappa, yeah.
Take all those off this Bengals team. That's what happens when the cap number goes up, like you'll see with Allen, and when you go by this straight accounting. Now, you can find ways to work around it, but that's the difference, is you're just so much more reliant on the quarterback when this hits. That's why this game, this next month, are massive for these two teams. The cap numbers are about to change. The window is about to change. The window will never be wider for the Bills. The window will never be wider for the Bengals. The Bengals have not just Burrow on a rookie deal. They have Chase and Higgins on rookie deals, too. That's $100 million-plus in cap value that they have for a minimal figure. These are the This next month is you'll never have a better chance to win a Super Bowl. The franchise is first. That's a good thing, by the way. That's a good thing to have this in front of you. But that's when you talk about the stakes tomorrow, to have the highest percentage chance, the easiest path with your biggest window, that's a big deal.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
The Bills are a different team at Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York, than they are on the road. I mean, they've lost three straight. No, actually, four out of the last 5 years in the playoffs on the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, 13 seconds was 13 seconds. But they blew a 16-0 lead to the Texans. It's huge. I mean, this is the game of the year in the NFL, the regular season game of the year. I don't think it's necessarily close. And for the reasons you just put, too, that's perfect context, because you don't know what the future looks like.
No. Never do.
It's going to get a lot harder.
Well, you do. It gets a lot harder. That's
both
what
teams
it looks
are healthy.
Like.
both teams are reasonably healthy right now. How many times do you show up at this point on a streak of at least 6 wins with a franchise quarterback who's playing at an elite level on a rookie deal with a healthy team around him? Just these opportunities, they just don't happen all that often in the NFL. Even if you try to build it right, there's so much luck, there's so much outside influence that happens. You know, these two teams are really set up. Oh, by the way, we didn't even mention Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in this equation as well, who currently hold the number one seed, where both of these teams could face the fact of having to beat each other, then go to Arrowhead.
Boy, they sure did effectively move on from a big contract to Tyreek Hill. Like, yeah, they yeah. said, we're not going to pay him. We'll find a way to win, and they have. So you have to do something like that and almost like reinvent yourself over time to keep winning. And I guess my question for you guys is, like, obviously outside looking in, you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, Paul Brown to Mike Brown. They don't like to spend a lot of money. Are they going to be willing to throw around? Obviously, you give Joe Burrow anything he wants, but after that, does it get a little tougher?
TD, you'll go to the you went to the stadium yesterday, right? Did you see all the sponsorships that are up? Those are all new. Those are Joe's.
Crossed my mind driving. Yeah. I'm like, oh, there's
Paycor. There's the Allegiant. There's the Alta Fiber Gate. There's the Kettering Health Practice Fields, IEL Bubble. Like, that's all directly to Joe Burrow's pockets, because that we need the cash. Put it in the escrow. That's where it's got to go. There's a reason they didn't do it until now, because now they're like, well, if we want to win, I guess we're going to have to take your dad's name off the stadium, sir.
Paul would want that. Paul Brown would
want
that.
And that's what Mike Brown said. My dad would have wanted this. And I think that's a big part of the point. I think they would be more than willing to pay for it.
Yeah, and where does Joe come in on this? Does he take the Tom Brady tact where he'll backload it and he'll structure it in a way where it's going to help them get people, or is he going to go for broke and want something in line with what Deshaun Watson got with the $230 million? I mean, they keep that pretty close to the vest. That's what's going to be the big question in this offseason. And your point was great with Tyreek Hill, because can you afford both? Can you afford Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase? The Packers couldn't keep Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. The Dolphins or the Chiefs couldn't keep Mahomes and Hill. That's hard to do, to have a top paid wide receiver and a top paid quarterback. And it's just, it all goes back to these hard decisions that are coming. It's not just Chase and Higgins. I mean, you got Logan Wilson too coming up this offseason that they can extend. A lot's going to come down to how Joe Burrow is willing to arrange this contract, and how much is he going to ask for the moon, or is he going to say, let's do what's best for me. That's what he's going to want to, but with a nod also towards what's best for the team, what's best for the long-term future.
I'm all for these guys getting every dime you can in a game that, you know, has your brain jiggling around in a skull every play. Like, the risk of injury and long-term health damage to your health is massive in pro football. So get all the money you can. But I think of Buffalo. Stephon Diggs, I mean, he lived the other side in Minnesota where it was really, really good. Minneapolis Miracle, all that. But him and Mike Zimmer did not see eye to eye.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted out. He didn't like where the team was. He didn't like where the offense was. He gets to Buffalo. He easily could have tried to get a different contract somewhere else. He signed before his contract was up to stay with Josh Allen, stay with Buffalo. Probably took a little less money to do so. You know, Ja'Marr Chase hasn't lived that world. He hasn't been on another team with another quarterback. Like, Devonta Adams, the guy that he wanted to play with, Derek Carr, he was just benched. He's out of there.
Right.
I mean, the Raiders are going to be lost in the abyss. So there is another world here. It probably will take Ja'Marr Chase taking a little less. Maybe Burrow structuring his contract in a way that you said. They both probably know their best together. Find a way to make it work, right? You have a chance to play for Super Bowls for a decade at least. I think financially, it does take a little bit on their end as well, to take a little less to make that happen.
Ja'Marr Chase is going nowhere. Ja'Marr Chase is going nowhere. Can I just say that a little louder? Ja'Marr Chase is going nowhere. I mean, it's the other parts. It's T. Higgins, right? I mean, right. I think Joe has proven that they can develop other receivers. He can make Trenton Irwin a legend. he can do these things. You need Chase. You need the value of wide receiver one. Follow the money, right? Always, when you watch how teams build now, follow the money. And what happened was everyone started really paying the elite number one. twos, you can find a way to develop. You can find a way to work. And that's not saying that there is an insane value in having Chase and Higgins and Boyd, but you got to have the one first. You got to have the real one. That's why Burrow and Chase are going nowhere. They're going to be here together. The other pieces you can develop, you can draft, you can figure things out. Maybe you'll get T to want to stay and figure that out. Maybe that works. I honestly don't know. But the core of Burrow and Chase is what you're buying into, because that's what really takes you to the next level in this league. There's a reason why one receivers and quarterbacks make more money than anybody else.
As long as Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are healthy, the Bills will be competing for Super Bowls, right?
No Von question.
Miller's done for the
no
year.
No question.
You know, my buddy Isaiah McKenzie, we do a show together at Go Long. I mean, he's been good, but maybe not what they expected as a slot receiver. Gabe Davis has not been what they expected as a number two, a ton of drops. Dawson Knox has his good moments and bad moments. There's a lot of problems elsewhere in Buffalo's offense. Their offensive line really isn't that great. They run the ball sometimes, but Allen's healthy. Diggs is healthy, and here they are. If they win, they're going to be the number one seed. So, yeah, you're right. Find a way to keep both of those players and worry about everything else after that.
All right. We have talked about these two very similar ascending organizations and how they got here, where they're going next. Let's talk about where they're actually going next. Tomorrow at 8:30, they're going to go to the field at Paycor Stadium in what we just outlined a little bit ago, a massive game, massive stakes, not just this year, but over the course of, you know, these open windows with these quarterbacks and everything they have. I'm going to start here. I'm going to just one question about tomorrow's game. I'm going to make this up. Stand by your stat, because whenever we do these like gimmicks, it's got to have some good catchy name. Stand by your stat for tomorrow. A stat that if it happens, whatever you say happens, that said team will win. Stand by your stat, Jay. What do you say tomorrow is the number one stat that will determine victory?
Well, it'll be turnovers, but I'm not going to go there because every game everywhere is turnovers. So I'm going to go third down conversions. The Bills lead the league. 49% they're converting on third down. Bengals defense is 19th in third down percentage.
Ooh.
They need to get the Bills off the field. They cannot let the Bills convert 49% of their third downs. I don't know what that magic number is. I'd say less than 40. If they can hold them to less than 40 and make things tougher on Josh Allen, get a turnover here or there. But that's the key stat for me, is that third down conversion. It's what the Bills do. There's a lot of things they do great. That is what they do best, is keep the chains moving, convert third downs, and the Bengals can't let them do that over and over and over again.
Mentioned this on the pod earlier this week, but Josh Allen has 29 rushes on third down this year and the highest conversion percentage of any quarterback with more than 10. That's a weapon. And I would expect, TD, you can speak to this too, them to lean into that a little bit more. It's a big game. It's later in the season. Enough saving yourself. He's not big on saving himself anyway. But where perhaps we see them lean a little bit more into Josh Allen's legs than maybe they even have been lately.
Right. I don't want to take a big picture again, but that's a concern in Buffalo. I mean, Isaiah McKenzie said it last week on our show, where if he has to run this much, you know, game to game, season to season, he's not going to last forever. Cam Newton fell off a cliff after he won this, yep, the MVP in 2015. So we'll see if Josh Allen can live this way, you know, for 9, 10, 11 seasons. Probably not. But right now, they need it. They have to have the element of his game. And I think that's probably what makes the most dangerous is that running ability.
Stand by your stat tomorrow. What do you got?
Right. All that being said, I feel like if Josh Allen completes less than 60% of his passes, the Bengals win. Because kind of like the old, you know, Paranormal Activity series, you know, all those movies where that demon, it kind of moves from house to house. Old Josh Allen's still in there somewhere. Like, we're still seeing rookie Josh Allen from time to time, where you don't know what's going to happen, and where the ball could go any direction. He could have, you know, Singletary wide open over the middle of the field. He could have Dawson Knox up the seam, and he gives you a shot. I feel like the Bengals will take advantage of those shots, where some of the teams over this winning streak that they've had. They've dropped those interceptions. They haven't taken advantage of it. His inaccuracies have been kind of popping up a little bit more than they would like. So if he is that quarterback in this game, in this moment, and gives Cincinnati a couple shots, I don't see, you know, Cincinnati letting those opportunities pass. Like Chicago, like, you know, Cleveland, some of these teams they've been playing.
I just looked it up. Six times this year he's been under 60%. Bills are 5-1, and they win every game no matter what the stats are. It'd be a little different against the Bengals,
yeah,
but
that's what I'm saying.
It's not like it's unheard of that he finishes under 60% completion.
The loss being the Jets. Yes, yes. 18-34.
In that game, I mean, he threw it directly to a Jet. It's like, what are you seeing out there? He has one of those, what the hell are you looking at moments once or twice a game.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have that in this game. You've got to maximize that opportunity.
So I will take the low-hanging fruit because I want to be correct. And I'm going to say if Josh Allen has two or more interceptions, the Bengals win. I think
that's too easy.
Whatever. I'm taking it. I don't care. I want to be right.
I like Jay saying turnovers. No. I'm not trying
to prove that I can be like super nuanced.
The graphic that says... No. Limit turnovers.
Yes, that's me. Josh Allen interceptions or turnovers will be the difference in this game. I'm willing to take the easy, low-hanging fruit here because it is, though, right? It does all boil down to that. When you have two evenly matched teams, possessions, stealing a possession here or there, is it? Because guess who's...
It is. It's true.
I'm not going to say... that this isn't going to happen. But guess who's the least likely quarterback in the league to give you a possession? Joe Burrow. Since week 6, his turnover-worthy play percentage is 1.1%. That would be the best since week 6 by any quarterback since 2017. And we've seen those turnovers that are happening are tip balls. There's a lot of luck stuff involved. That happens. That's going to happen to everybody. But when the other guy ain't going to give it to you, and you are going to give it, especially in the red zone where we've seen Josh Allen make some of those mistakes, that's it. That's the difference between two teams that are in the same tier and evenly matched.
Josh Allen, 29 turnover-worthy plays this year, leads the NFL. Wow. He's had 5 games this year with 2 or more interceptions. Well, 2 interceptions. He's never thrown more than 2. They're only 3-2 in those games when he throws 2.
See? I'm so right.
That season opener was like the best thing that could have happened to the Bengals, right? Like all these interceptions, all these mistakes. It's like, get it out of your system.
Bengals fans would beg to differ.
It's almost like he kind of made all these mistakes. Like, all right, I can't do that again.
Right.
I'm going to be more cautious in that situation.
I would say, you know what? When we look back at this team, let's just say, you know, this run they're on continues and they win the Super Bowl, right? Like, you guys could probably get behind that, right? I assume I'm on pander here. The Bengals win the Super Bowl, right? But I do think you would look back and say, starting 0-2 and having the entire mess that they had offensively, forcing Joe Burrow to change the way he plays football is what won them a Super Bowl if that happens. It's what has them here is his understanding of living through, I just am not going to go through another season of taking all these hits. I've got to be more efficient. I've got to be willing to be checking down. I've got to show how good I am at making those decisions quickly and to then learn on the fly, like, wow, we just move the ball at will when I do that. Right. I'll just go ahead and keep doing that, and that's what's allowed him to have this season that he's had. And I know I outlined this, and I don't like to read the comments often.
No.
It's flashbacks to my Inquirer days. I try not to read the comments too much. But, you know, I had in my story about Joe Burrow's MVP case, I sort of laid it out that it's a philosophical question. Are you willing to say, I'm not going to think about those 2 games because since then, in the 15 games that will close this season, he will clearly statistically be the best quarterback in the NFL? When you throw those 2 clunkers to start of the season that taught lessons in there, he's maybe the MVP, right? When you take those out, he's clearly been the best quarterback in football. I don't know that anybody really cares, and I don't think that voters will necessarily go that deep into it. They'll look at, oh, he was great on Monday Night Football, and that's probably going to put it over the top for me. But I think that's a big part of playing at the level you're playing at right now. Zach Taylor says it all the time. I wouldn't trade him for anybody. I feel that he is the best quarterback in football right now. If you needed him to win 1 game like you do tomorrow night, I'd rather have Burrow. Granted, I've seen a lot of Joe Burrow, but I'd rather have Burrow than anybody in the NFL.
you know, here I am pandering again, right?
Go, do it. What's why they're here? To be pandered to.
We don't have any Chiefs fans here, I don't think. But
I saw a Chiefs sweatshirt earlier.
Really? Is there a Chiefs
fan? That guy.
Find
that
him.
Guy.
All right. Yeah. Earmuffs, Chiefs fan. But I was seriously just talking to Kurt Warner a couple weeks ago, and he said, look, he's not happy with the way Patrick Mahomes has played the game and read the field. And there was like a play that you would use to justify Patrick Mahomes' MVP case was that crazy, you know, when he rolled right, he kind of flipped it,
yeah,
you know, to his running back, I think, right?
Yeah.
It was just McKinnon or Allaire or one of those guys. He like ran around, made this crazy play that only he can make. He's like, watch that play. He's got a post corner on the opposite side that he doesn't even see. It's wide open. It's a touchdown. He doesn't see it for whatever reason. So he has to do something crazy to improvise. And he does, right? He makes the play. But Joe Burrow's making the right play almost every single time that Mahomes is, you know, he doesn't always do that. You know, it's more fun to watch Mahomes,
yes,
make the crazy plays.
Sure.
But Burrow's doing the right thing just about every time.
You know who watched that and thought there's a way to take advantage of this? Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo.
Yeah,
this dude will just run around and try to make crazy plays and miss the guy that actually is open. Rush 3, drop 8,
yep.
Force him to throw into a tight window and have him totally confused like he was in the second half of both of those games last year. I think there's a similar lesson that can be learned by going against Josh Allen. I'm really fascinated to see what Lou Anarumo's plan is for Josh Allen. We talked about it earlier this week, and I wrote about it, but there's so many different directions you can go. And I think that's what he loves about it, is that he can't be – the Bills can't predict what Lou's plan is going to be, because he's done so many different things and has so many smart defensive players that are capable of executing different ideas. Drop 8, heavy blitz, disguises, all that stuff that has worked could be a big part of the plan to get Josh Allen to do what we've talked about Josh Allen's done a lot of this year.
I mean, that's the thing is – do you need to do something to get him to put the ball in danger? You probably don't, because he does it so much anyhow. Like you said, there's plays a couple times a game where you're thinking, what was he thinking? Why did he throw that ball? If they, I am of the belief that they're going to blitz the heck out of him, at yep. least early.
I'd agree.
And try to get him off his spot. But are you playing into his hands when you do that? Because then he just escapes, and he's so good with his feet. That to me, everybody focuses on offense, and they want to talk about, you know, Burrow and Allen and all that, but it's, to me, the most interesting thing tomorrow night is going to be Lou Anarumo, what that plan is, how these cornerbacks can hold up against, I mean, you got Eli Apple, you got CTB, it's not an elite crew, but it's not a great receiving core for Buffalo either. How does Lou manage Josh Allen? Does he sit back and wait for him to make the mistakes, or does he attack him and try to force him to make the mistakes?
Well, the one thing, you know, we saw Lou go counter to what he did the first game, the two games last year against the Chiefs, in the first game against the Chiefs this year, he was more blitz heavy.
Yes.
And he said, you know what? If you're going to throw the cover zero sky ball down, I'll let you get a couple to MVS, and that will be what you get. Congratulations. We'll take the rest of it. And it ended up being enough. And I think that's a similar plan for Josh Allen, is you go that route early. You see how effective. You're making me very nervous. Wow. Hovering a full beer directly over my new laptop.
The takes are going to be dangerous.
Man, that was a tough one. But I think that that's really going to be the interesting part of this is go blitz heavy and see if, yeah. You know, I was looking around. If you just search, I was looking for good Twitter embedded videos to put of Josh Allen ridiculous interceptions. You just search Josh Allen interception. You see all kinds of craziness. And I put one in there where Josh Allen intercepted Josh Allen for the Jags last year. But it's quarterback Allen just running and closing his eyes and throwing it directly to a defensive lineman. Like, right. That stuff can happen. Blitzes can force that to happen. I think Lou brings the heat early. If it doesn't work, if it does blow up in his face, then you see the switch. Then you see them go to the drop 8 and see if that is a way to get more turnovers.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
It's in there, right? I mean, it is in there somewhere in Josh. As good as he is, I mean, he's an MVP candidate in his own right, and they wouldn't trade him for anybody. He still has that part of his game. And I'll say this, too. I was just talking to somebody that is very familiar with the people in charge of the Buffalo Bills, and he said they are panicked right now.
Panicked? Why are they panicked?
Offensively, outside of Stephon Diggs, who is a threat? If you take this away, what do we do in the run game, in the pass game? What direction does this offense go? I didn't, you know, we don't even have to listen to this guy. I mean, look, they just signed John Brown back, Cole Beasley back. I mean, they're bringing back the the band back together. Yeah. They're like, you know,
looking for anything,
like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, is there anybody that can help? I'm surprised at that. You know, that Gabe Davis has not. What has happened there?
You know, he was so good in the 13 seconds game.
Yes.
Divisional
incredible
playoff round. They took Diggs away, and Davis made the plays that he had to make. But it was almost a mirage is probably a little strong, but I don't think he's that good week to week. Right? He's had a lot of drops. His numbers will still look pretty solid at the end of the year. I mean, he hasn't been terrible. He's had his moments, but he hasn't been what they expected. And I think you need more outside of Stephon Diggs. And, if I'm the Bengals, I'm doing exactly what you guys just said. Force the quarterback to make that mistake at some point and then take advantage.
Same in the Anarumo conversation. Back to the Chiefs. I mean, there's so much in the Chiefs model that you can take away because of the explosiveness. You know, Lou told us afterwards that the first and the second game was, look, he always, when panicked, looks for Tyreek Hill. That was the thing last year. So they made sure they took away Hill first while forcing him to scramble around and force him to go another direction. That seems like a similar plan that you will see tomorrow.
Yeah.
Take away Diggs and get him off his spot and then see if anybody else can get open or if that forces him to make some poor decisions.
Because McKenzie is getting open. He talked about it. If you look on the film, like he's open, but Josh Allen doesn't really trust him or doesn't want to look for him. He's locked in. So I think that's the blueprint. That's the plan if you're Cincinnati.
So let's flip it to the other side. The guy who has been finding everybody that's been open, whether it's been Trenton Irwin or T. Higgins against a short corner or Jamar Chase against anybody. I'm curious to see. This Bills offense is good. It's similar to the Bengals defense. They both get overlooked because of what's on the other side. This Bills defense is good. I'm really curious, you know, the Von Miller fallout. You know, they don't have that closer. They don't have that fourth quarter, third down guy that can really bring it. And when we've seen, you know, Burrow, third and long, has been tough this year. If you can't get after him, if you can't get in his face, and now, you know, you have a new right tackle that's going to be in there and what looks like it's going to be Isaiah Prince. So we'll see how that plant pans out. Maybe we'll see Prince for a little while and then Adeniji will step in. I who the hell knows? I don't know that they totally know how that's going to play out on Monday, but I'm curious to see if the Bills have enough to slow Burrow because we just have not really seen anybody do that successfully, certainly not for an entire game. We've seen halves. There's been success, but never for an entire game.
I mean, we talked about it on the podcast earlier this week that the Bills – defense is really, really good, and it gets overlooked because that offense is so good. But yes, can they slow down Burrow? Kind of going back to, you mentioned it on the podcast, I asked Joe Mixon about it yesterday, and he pretty much threw shade at the Bills and said they're not as good as the Ravens, but those linebackers are terrific, and that's what makes Burrow so good, is he's looking for that first read. If it's not there, he's so quick to get the check down and get it out to Mixon or Hurst or whoever it is, and you get those guys in the open field, and in a short little 2-3 yard pass turns into 8, 10, 12. Well, these Bills linebackers rally to the ball. They're not going to let those short little passes turn into longer ones. So that's going to be a big part of it. I don't know that the Bills defense is, I think, number two in scoring defense. They're holding people to right around 20 points a game. I don't see them holding the Bengals to that. I think we did our predictions earlier on the pod. I think this is going to be, it's not a case of first team to 30. It's, I think they're both going to get to 30, and it's going to be a case of who has the ball last. And you have to trust Burrow in that situation at the end of the game more so than Allen, especially if he's playing behind. You saw it in the Minnesota game. He just threw the ball away needlessly. Was it a first or a second down? I think that is where the advantage is if it's close at the end of the game, you have a lot more trust in Joe Burrow, regardless of how good that Bills defense is.
Can I just ask you something, Jay? You were in with Mixon yesterday.
Yeah.
Can you just explain to me the reaction of the reporters as he starts going off on how the Bills linebackers stink?
It was amazing because normally when it's a bigger crowd, but there was almost nobody there yesterday. It was New Year's Eve. A lot of people didn't even come down. It was just maybe four or five of us. There was no one had a phone up. There was no cameras.
The rap is blaring. I don't even know how.
Yeah, the rap was blaring. I was holding it like right under his chin trying to get the recording. We were just, I think, dumbstruck. It was like he's on a heater here. Just let him go. And I waited. I waited till we got back in the media room before we tweeted out his quotes. Normally, as soon as somebody says something like that, you see everybody's phones come out and they're tweeting the quotes immediately. And I think we were all just surprised. And I don't know. It wasn't like Joe invited us over and said, hey, I've got something to say. We just approached him, said, you got a minute? He said, yeah. And he went off. I mean, that shows the confidence this team has, because that's really the last thing you want to do is start talking smack about an opponent before a big game like this. The Bengals have been on the other side of that with the Chiefs. It was really surprising, but it was really fun.
That's what I love about the Cincinnati Bengals, though. They don't give a damn. Like, I feel like we're not that important in the media. Like, words are words.
Yeah.
Like, this is a team that has been bad for so long that if you want to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender year in and year out, you know what? Say you're going to kick ass, then go ahead and kick everybody's ass. Yeah. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I agree.
You need to change the culture that way, too. And that, now I've talked to Eli Apple, Mike Hilton, Chidobe Awuzie. Everybody seems to talk in those terms to really change the way things have been around here.
You may not have seen it, but there was kind of a viral clip in the Steelers game where Burrow, after they put the game away, it's freezing cold, his nose is red, and he's fired up, and he looks up at the stands and just says, "We the big dogs," right? Like, but that has sort of become a bit of how it's flipped for them this year. It took till they were right at the end last year to flip from "Why not us?" to "It is us," right? And that was the flip, I think, mentally, and you're seeing that in them now. More, I thought this week was the most confident, braggadocious, not afraid to just be like, we're going to win this. We are the best team. I've not seen them be like this, even over the course of this last 2 years, where I think this is the most confident that they've maybe ever been, even leading in the Super Bowl.
It'll be interesting to see, because if you remember, it was week 17 last year. They beat the Chiefs. They won the division. We weren't allowed in the locker room back. It was still COVID protocols. And that's when you see all the crazy videos with them smoking cigars and dancing and really, really celebrating. If the Ravens lose tonight, and if the Bengals win tomorrow and they clinch the division, what does that celebration look like? I don't think it's going to look like it did last year. I think it's going to be much more reserved. And I asked Zach Taylor about this yesterday because, this franchise has won division titles before, and he said 10. He knew the number right off the top. They've never, in the history of the franchise, won back-to-back division titles. That would be a huge step, but I don't think you're going to see them celebrate in that regards. I think it's going to be more, like you said, that confidence. We expected to win the division. We'll celebrate when we win the Super Bowl.
The last time they were the number one seed was in 1988.
Yeah.
And they ended up playing the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game and beating them. Tim Graham and Matt Fairburn are going to have a story on that tomorrow, looking back on that game.
Seriously, to my best friends.
That's awesome. And I know all the numbers we gave them, and I think they talked to everybody.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great story. Highly recommend checking that out in The Athletic tomorrow. But,
being the one seed again, also not something that happens around. I think that's when the celebration happens. I don't the big one. You know what I mean? That that big feel, hats and shirts, and all that party happens. I think whenever the one were to potentially happen, and right now, KC already up on Denver. The dead cat bounce off the Broncos firing not quite happening yet. All right, last question, and then we'll take a break and do Q&A. To wrap it up, non-quarterback that has the biggest impact tomorrow.
Matt Milano, 58, defense. Speaking of those linebackers, I mean, Buffalo has a star on that side of the ball that I feel like we're not talking nearly enough about. This dude is amazing versus the run, versus the pass. You know, former safety at Boston College that has really just developed and evolved. He's their best player on the defensive side of the ball. I think if you're Cincinnati, you want to know where he is at all times. And look, I mean, we haven't really talked about the Bills. This time last year and even the year before, if they get up on you, if they're up by 2-3 touchdowns, you know, they're having the time of their lives. They're dancing all over your graves. But in the past, like if you punch the Bills in the mouth, they didn't really know what to do, right? I think psychologically, they were, you know, not ready to be a championship team in that regard. So even though Josh Allen's kind of been grinding through the elbow injury and it hasn't really looked the same on offense, they've kind of won some tough games, right? We talked about the snow earlier and needing to play in Detroit and all that stuff. I think that this is a mentally tougher team, similar to Cincinnati in that regard. So I think it absolutely is, you know, whoever has the ball last kind of a game. But, yeah, Matt Milano is a star that we don't talk nearly enough about.
No, and I'm not going to make any friends here, but I will say Matt Milano was the biggest Pro Bowl snub, even more so than DJ Reed. It was just unbelievable. When you watch the film and you watch that guy, he is all over the place. He's so much fun to watch, just if you're a fan of football. And I agree. I think he's going to have a big role tomorrow. I'm gonna flip it. I'm going to go to the linebacker on the Bengals side. I'm going to go Logan Wilson. And it's maybe the low-hanging fruit because he played with Josh Allen at Wyoming. But I think you're going to see Lou use Logan as a spy on Josh Allen. I think you're going to see if Lou does dial up the heat and blitz a lot, yes, he's going to come off the edge with Eli Apple or Von Bell, but I think you're going to see Logan Wilson coming up the A-gap, the double A-gap blitz, and I think he is in store. He's in store for a big game, and if he has a big game, they don't lose.
I'm tempted to say Mike Hilton because, you know, we saw the way he approached tackling Derrick Henry, coming off the edges. He's fearless. I think you take that same strategy in attacking those quarterback design runs, in slowing down the Bills' run game up the middle, but also just a guy who's primed to try to take advantage of mistakes that Allen can make. I'm tempted to say that. I'm going to say Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates has been close. He's had interceptions, but he's also been close to some really big plays. He's the deep center fielder that Allen's going to be looking to take shots at, and he's got great instincts, great sideline to sideline. He's kind of a perfect antidote to the big arm of Allen. I'm curious how much he tests it, and I think Bates has been quietly been playing really, really well, and I think this could be a big one for him to go ahead and help his case in a few months when he hits the free market trying to sign that big contract. All right, let's go. If you have a question, we will start up over here now that we've done that. I don't think I've ever heard of Chris Burkett.
I haven't either.
I have no idea who it is. No idea.
Can you get him on your podcast next week?
I'm sure we could get
him. We'll just talk about that play.
Is he alive?
I hope so. 86, you never know.
A little callous, sorry.
Yeah. Don't Google that. Chris Burkett, dead or alive?
He's alive.
All right, yay. All right,
feel better.
Okay. Are we still rolling on the backup? Okay. We'll do a few questions here, and we'll get you guys on your way.
This is really awesome, though. I mean, thanks, everybody, for coming out.
Yeah, thanks again, everybody, for coming out. I hope you guys are having fun and enjoying it.
Oh, my God. Seriously, okay. When Paul told me we were doing this, I'm like, oh, we'll probably get, like, what do you think, 10, 12 people? This is packed. This is
you've never been to an event at 50 West. They only do it big here. Yeah, only do it big.
Bengal fans are legit.
It's true. I mean, Bengal
fans. This is a fan base that is...
So this is what this is actually a good thing to say here, because this is what you've discovered. Because, you know, as you started your site, you know, you're branching out into different markets.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Kind of trying to find nationally underserved a little bit, right? I mean, Green Bay, the Giants a little bit, kind of. Obviously, Buffalo, you have a central. But the Bengals you found, because the fan base has been so responsive to everything, has been really, I think, eye-opening from a national perspective. You see that, I think, more so than most do.
No doubt. I mean, I went on Dan Hord's podcast after I did the
Let's hear it for Dan Hord!
Dan!
Love Dan Hord.
Great human being.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that guy. So he's from Jamestown, not far from where I grew up. And like, I went on there. I was like, hey, if anybody wants to subscribe to GoAlongT.com, I'll send you a Go Along shirt. And I was like thinking, oh, maybe a couple people. It was like 30, 40 people. Like, holy cow, this is great. But yeah, every time I do a story, Eli Apple, Mike Hilton, Joe Burrow.
The Cheeto story. I hope you've read the story he did on Cheeto Wuze. It was incredible. Your Burrow story, all of it. All of it's great. If you don't, I highly recommend reading, subscribing if you can. Support, because it's great work. And DJ Reader story coming in your near future, too, from Tyler Dunn. All right. You ready for Q&A time?
Let's do it.
We have one question. So you're just gonna, I hope you have like 42 questions for us. All right. All right. Let's start. All right. Thanks, Erica. Let's hear it again one more time. A hand for yourselves. We get started back up. We're going to wrap up here tonight. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Great to have everybody here. We're going to go Q&A. Can you pass that out there? And hopefully we don't get too much feedback. I'm not sure what's going to happen when we start moving around. What's your name?
My name's Robert.
Robert. Thanks for coming. What you got?
So I love your guys' sports betting segment on your podcast.
Yes.
So
completely fictional. We can get fired. Fictional. We get real money.
Completely fictional. Yeah. But to commemorate for the rest of us the first day of sports betting in Ohio.
There you go.
I have two kind of sports betting questions. So, of course, I want to bet on the Bengals to win tomorrow night. So, and I do not like parlays. I'm anti-parlay.
Jay doesn't like that.
With Jay.
Always chasing. Always so, chasing.
But for tomorrow, you know, there's all those free bonuses out there. I want to parlay just with the over under. So I want to parlay a Bengals win with the over under. So just you guys' takes on over under. And then secondly, Joe Burrow MVP. So I looked this morning. I forgot what the number was. But banking on a win tomorrow, does that really elevate him as even competitive with Mahomes and Hurts? Or should I not even throw away my money? So a little betting.
I'll start where you ended. So the Burrow MVP conversation, I think, is interesting. Here's the thing. People are very easily influenced. We are weak as a general media species. And those that vote on these things, we are easily influenced, particularly AP voters, which is who you're talking about, by big moments, big games, all eyeballs. Tomorrow night is the ultimate Joe Burrow stamp your MVP case moment. If he comes out and throws for 415 and four touchdowns and the Bengals win by any amount, field goal at the end, clutch play, whatever, that number, I would be willing to bet that he would be, if not the favorite, almost an even with Mahomes on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's not just big games, big moments. There's also the recency element to it, where this is the next to last game of the year. And you're right. The voters do not dive in and do the homework they should. And I guess that's good news for Joe Burrow, because they're not going to go back and look at week one and week two. They're just going to look at the overall numbers. And as we speak right now, Patrick Mahomes is in a slugfest. It's 6-3 that he's not doing well. If the Bengals win, if they beat the Bills, and then they have a win against the Bills, and Burrow has a huge game, and he has a win against the Chiefs, I think you could see him. I don't know if he'll quite get up in the favorite range, but it's going to be really close. And what was it on the podcast 3-4 weeks ago? Mo Egger placed a futures bet on Joe Burrow winning the MVP, and it was at +800. I think you're going to see that down. If he has a huge game against the Bills, you're going to see that down in the 2-250 range.
We saw this last year. The Chiefs game, the Baltimore game and the Chiefs game back to back, you know, with the 525 against Wink Martindale and the Santa hat and the Krusty Krab shirt. Yep. And then the next week goes out and Jamar has 266 and Burrow has a huge game. And he went from off the radar, like not even really discussed as an MVP candidate, to a dark horse who finished third in the voting just by his push at the end. Again, the relevance of these big games at the end of seasons would expose his season-long numbers for how good they've been, too.
I'm not a gambler. I can't really get into it. I don't know. I just it's hard for me to wrap my brain around an NFL that's suspending people, you know, players and coaches for gambling on things that aren't even NFL related. It's so hypocritical. Oh, here's a number to call in case, you know, you have a problem. Like, get the hell out of here. It's unbelievable what the NFL is doing with this all. But I will say this. Living in New York State is pretty terrible. We have a lot of stuff backwards in New York State. I don't like – if it wasn't for family, we'd be out of there. But we were ahead of the gambling stuff, so it was legal, I guess, before Ohio. This time last year is right around the time the apps came out, FanDuel, Caesars. And so the free bets were out there. And I said, you know what? To your point, Joe Burrow looked really good against Baltimore and all that. But you know what? I'm going to throw down some money. These free bets they're handing out, I'm going to get on that. And Joe Burrow and the Bengals, I think they won me. Like, with those free bets, it was a lot of money. I took them in the wild card, in the divisional, in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, then I got the hell out of there. I was like, I took that money and ran. So to answer the question, yes, throw down.
Well, if you've just been betting the Bengals to win and cover, you are rich. 20-3. 20-3 in their last 23 games as the Lions continue to underestimate them. Okay. I have this in TWIB, which is up tomorrow, Jay. We talked about this the other day a little bit. I went deeper into this, and I found the real stat. I love these super filtered situations. You ready for this? Okay. Games where a team that finished the season with a winning record, okay, was at home as an underdog of between 0 and 3 points in the last 2 weeks of the season. This has happened 9 times in the last 10 years. The team who is the home underdog is 8-1 straight up and covering. And the only one was when Sean McDermott's Bills were like, are we playing Josh Allen? Are we not? Against the Jets, he threw 5 passes and gave way to Matt Barkley in a game that they lost. So it doesn't even really count. So kind of 8-0. In those games. And you have a Bengals team that's 20-3 against the spread in its last 23. I think the number's at about 1.5 maybe right now. I don't know where it's up to. One and a half, depending on where you find it. So that's where I'm saying spread looks.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of, there's the trends at play. Trends at play, Jay. Bet the trend, right?
That is a long list of qualifiers for that list.
That's a very specific situation. I got 9 different games in the sample size, Jay. 9 games are in there.
Sitting back in my Italian class at Syracuse.
Look, that's the exact situation that will happen tomorrow night. Over-under was the other question. I think we both have the over in our predictions.
Yes, way over.
Well, that may be wrong, but that's what we had. Question? Another question? Let's go in. Let's go to the next one. Patrick Mahomes, red zone INT, MVP case shot. The line just moved. What's your name?
You guys talked about earlier how it's going to be hard to keep Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase together, but they're going to do it.
Yep.
So there's a year in between when Jamar is going to be eligible for his money and T. Higgins is going to want his. Do you think that they'll franchise tag T. Higgins the same way that they did with Jesse Bates this year, knowing that they can't keep him for the long term, but having him for one more year might help them win a Super Bowl?
That is going to be – I think they'd like to. But here – you get into a really interesting situation here because you have Jesse Bates Part 2, same agent who has been a pain in their side through this whole Bates thing that they tried to get done and thought they'd be able to get done and wanted all the guarantees and doesn't want to structure things the way the Bengals like to structure things. Is that going to be repeated when T. Higgins starts his extension talks? Will it end up in the same, well, we're franchising you, you're either going to play on it or you're going to forfeit the money? Will they go the same line? Will that agent take the same loss that he took in this Bates thing? That, to me, the path that already exists with the same agent with a similar type of player, I think makes it interesting. They don't have to make that decision yet. You know, they'll have extension talks all off season and probably into September. We'll certainly be looking at that really closely, August, to see where that lands. You know, it probably depends on where the money lands, what T's, you know, demeanor is, how he's handling it, and how Burrow's contract falls. I just think it's really hard to me to make any even educated guesses on things before you see what happens with Burrow.
I don't see how they can make it work mathematically, because it's going to be the same season that you are putting the franchise tag on T is going to be the same offseason that you're able to extend Jamar. And if they're that committed to Jamar, I don't know that you can throw that much, because whatever the franchise tag is for a wide receiver is going to be huge. So you're already going to have extended Burrow, and you're going to be throwing an extension at Jamar, presumably, and maybe Logan. I don't know how they can make that work to even lock up T for one more year on a franchise tag.
You're also trying to find a tackle. Let's not forget that. I mean, Jonah's not going to be around past the franchise tag, I wouldn't think. I mean, maybe he is. There's a lot of football to be played between now and then. They still don't have an answer at right tackle. They may need two that they're trying to pay to keep the line intact. You know, we've seen teams, we mentioned Tyreek Hill, the Titans when they traded A.J. Brown. We've seen teams that are just, they're moving and they're drafting. And I personally think that's probably where this lands with T. It's maybe where it should. But this team has loved to pay receivers. Like, they have never been shy about paying receivers and quarterbacks. Mike loves him some receivers and quarterbacks. So the idea of keeping the band together and having Chase, Higgins, and Burrow forever, I'm sure, is appealing to them. It'll be fascinating. I don't know that I have an answer for you on that. T's case, to me, is the most interesting of anybody on the roster. I think I can better predict most others. T's the one that, I don't know. There's a lot of weird variables at play there.
Man, I would pay these receivers anything they want, anything you can do to keep these. Whatever Joe Burrow wants, give him that.
Well, that's
the
case.
West beers,
whatever Joe Burrow has asked for, he's gotten, I believe, to this point.
Yes.
So I think that trend will continue. All right, we have another question. All right, we'll keep them rolling. Cavs fan in the house. It's good to see.
Cavs and Bengals.
There you go.
Chilly. We were wondering back there.
Speaking for a group of people?
Yeah. My buddy Jansen and my brother David. Yeah.
Yeah. He was the spokesman, though. You guys are like, I'm not doing
They're
the
very
mic
shy.
Thing. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So we were wondering, if, on a personal level, we imagine that the past 2 years covering this team has probably felt a little different, like a little different going into work and just talking about it, knowing how it's going to be received. And we were wondering if you could put into words what that difference is, or how that feels, or if it's a real thing.
Did you ever listen to my press conferences with Marvin Lewis? We enjoyed each other's company, me and Marvin. It's a very different world when you are constantly having to write and question the job security of a coach who's been here forever, and there's frustration in the fan base, and everybody wants everyone fired. Like, it's our job to ask those questions for you guys, and so you have to, and you're just, it's just, it's very taxing to be in that world every day versus a world where we're writing about a team where they're making all the right moves is certainly an easier thing to write about, to question about, to analyze. And then this is the perfect example.
Yes,
we do things and y'all show up. Like, you guys are interested. You read, you listen, you're showing up at 50 West on New Year's Day. Like, it's so great because you guys are the apathy that existed before was the frustrating aspect. You know, no matter, we would find, you know, very interesting elements to a week 14 game when they were 7-6 again and be like, you know, this is a really great matchup. This is interesting football. These decisions they're making are, you know, we can really dive into these. And nobody was really interested because they're just frustrated with the whole thing. And it's just, it's Dalton and Lewis, and we're just done with it. And this team and the history, all of that was honestly, it was – it was hard because no matter how much time and effort and energy you put into something, you know people aren't really interested in that. Whereas now, the dynamics of the game, the personalities, people are just in love with that and can't get enough of it. That's cool. Someone, we do the show, we write for you guys, we want you guys to feel a part of it and that you get it and that you feel represented. And so for you guys to give that back is the coolest part for me. That's the difference for me.
Yeah, it, like you said, if we had done this in 2018, there might have been 10 people out there.
And you're just here yelling fire Marvin.
Yeah, like, exactly. And the Marvin thing is a good point because when Marvin, for the most part, when Marvin's teams weren't good, they weren't awful either. And there's an old sports writing adage where you either want the team you cover to be really bad or really good. If they're just kind of floating around, nobody cares when they're 8-8. But if they're really good, everybody's invested. If they're really bad, everyone's invested because they want the coach fired. They want to know what's next. They're spinning everything forward. And you had a lot of that in those Marvin years when they weren't going to the playoffs. And even when they were going to the playoffs, they were good, but they weren't advancing in the playoffs. It was still kind of that middling range. And it has been totally different the last couple of years.
I'll just add too, like, I mean, this is like what football should be. It's an organic, real market. Yeah. I mean, these Bengal fans are smart. If the team's bad, they're going to fill up the stadium. All right, you know, go make your team better. Then we'll show up.
Yes.
Yeah. Now the team's good, and there's a waiting list to get tickets.
Yes.
And then you have Los Angeles. You know, the NFL has this contrived market out there. Nobody cares out there about football. There's other things to do. So,
yeah.
I don't know. As the NFL kind of chases millions and billions of dollars, like, this is what the game was always meant to be. Like, here in Cincinnati, Ohio, with the team on the rise.
Look at you go. Are you just trying to sell books? Is that what this is about?
Yeah, everybody subscribe to goalongt.com. I'm pandering.
I mean, just look, no, you I mean, guys are really the center of the NFL. Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
I have an update from Arrowhead. Russell Wilson just ran in a touchdown, and the Broncos 10-6. Are up on the Chiefs 10-6.
10-6. Dead cat bounce.
Dead cat bounce.
Dead cat bounce happening right now. Nate Hackett has saved your sins for your sins. All right. If anybody has a question, we'll take it. Otherwise, we're going to wrap it up. I want to say thank you to everybody for coming out. This has been really fun. We've enjoyed it. I hope those of you that are going to the game tomorrow, enjoy yourself. Have fun. Drive responsibly.
Growler bet winners. Are there any growler bet winners out there?
If you are a growler bet winner and you are here, we're wrapping the show up. Come and collect, and maybe some of you will be collecting the next time we do a show. Maybe I don't have to talk to Optimistic Bobby, but draft around the draft feels like a good time. We loved doing the post draft. We had Duke Tobin out here. We've had Zach Taylor out here. We've done stuff. We were gonna do the show with Mike Potts, the college scouting director, but the tornado blew through. So we had to cancel the live show. So I think pre-Super Bowl, maybe.
There you go.
Did anybody show up at a show before the team leaves for the Super Bowl? Probably, yes.
If we do draft, it'll have to be after the draft because this may surprise you, but the night before the draft, my wife and I have a concert.
No, of course.
So, post-draft.
Pantera?
Who is Tesla.
It? Tesla. Wow. So on brand. All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Thank you.